All across Washington State, students are headed back to the classroom. But in British Columbia, the first day of school is still TBD. That's because teachers there are on strike. Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer is not on strike. He's back with us. Hi, Vaughn.
Hi, Marcy. And in fact, while I speak to you, as we speak, I'm watching out of the corner of my eye a live press conference in Vancouver where the Premier of British Columbia, Christy Clark, is answering media questions about this awful school strike and what she's going to do about it.
Vaughn, we talked about the possibility of this strike back in June. So what are the main...
Oh, man.
Yeah,
got an hour?
Yeah. What's at the heart of it?
Well, the top mediator in British Columbia is a guy named Vince Reddy. He's been at it for about 30 years, and he's settled more disputes than most of us have ever heard of. And I tried to get him involved in this. He went in last week, and he spent about 48 hours with them, and he walked out and told reporters they're too far apart to settle.
Wow.
He's supposed to be a miracle worker, but he's not an idiot. He doesn't do talks where they're miles apart. So what he says the issues are wages and benefits and funding for education, which is pretty much the entire range. The last bit, funding for education, relates to what's the appropriate staffing level in a classroom, what's the appropriate resources for children with special needs, and what's the appropriate class size. So,
yeah.
Man, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of issues here. They're also, and we might as well throw this in because everybody here knows about it, they've been fighting each other in court, the government and the union, for 10 years. And the matter is still before the courts because our courts move slowly. And there's a big aspect of the dispute involving that as well.
So, Vaughn, who funds schools?
Almost entirely the provincial government. I mean, some of the money comes from property taxes, but essentially the funding, the management of the system, the negotiations, and the education budget is pretty much provincial. Even the part that goes in from property taxes is ultimately driven by the provincial government and its policies.
So if money, and everything you listed off really has to do with money, if money's at the heart of this, is there the money at the provincial level to meet the teacher demands?
I think the government's prepared to move a bit from what's on the table at the moment and what's been on the table for several months, but they don't want to move until they've got some of the issues off the table. It's a game of chicken, if you want. The provincial government, the way it works here in British Columbia, is that the government tends to negotiate with all public sector workers at the same time. So it's about 350,000 or 300,000 workers in the public sector in British Columbia. That's in health care.
Mm-hmm.
It includes doctors, it includes teachers, nurses, you know, all kinds of people. They've settled with about half of them. What they try to do, Marcy, is to get into the same ballpark for settlement for everybody so they don't get whipsawed, so one group doesn't come forward and say, me too, I want, you know. So they don't want to give the teachers more than they give everybody else, and there's always an argument around what that is, and that's why you end up at the negotiating table. But essentially, there's a little more room to move on this, but not much. And the teachers' union, feeling they've fallen behind, you know this argument, right?
Yes.
Their teachers, feeling they fall behind, are asking for more. They're not prepared to take the government offer. They're asking for more. So they're on strike. Schools are shut. They were shut for 2 weeks in June. Here's another predicament for teachers. Their union doesn't have a strike fund.
Oh.
In the past, the teachers' union has generally been legislated back to work within a matter of days. And so the union doesn't have a big strike fund. So teachers are actually out of pocket on this. We figure $5,000 or $6,000 already, and more this month. And, you know, you can imagine, you're both working. You've got one of those big mortgages that people have, especially in the big cities in British Columbia. You didn't expect to be out this long. This is really, really tough for school teachers.
Do you think that the Clark government might order the teachers back into the classroom?
I think they probably will if it drags on to the end of the month. I don't think they're in any rush to do it. And the reason for that, Marcy, is because in the past the government has acted too quickly. I think that's the view. They've stepped in too quickly. Rather than bargaining, the teachers' union has come to rely on that. The courts have warned the government not to legislate not to stop collective bargaining before it's been given a chance. So for parents who are scrambling, of course, to child care arrangements and all that, they're looking around. They want the thing over with. But, the headline in the Vancouver Sun yesterday, I think, captured it, prepare for a long strike. This thing could drag on to the end of the month before we get a legislated settlement.
Wow. Vaughn Palmer is back with us. He's a columnist for the Vancouver Sun. And Vaughn, NATO leaders are meeting in Wales this week. And you could pick a hot spot anywhere in the world. But let's talk about Russia and Ukraine. Today, President Obama said that we, the United States, will not accept Russia's occupation and illegal annexation of Crimea or any part of Ukraine. Where does Canada stand?
Well, I have to say our prime minister is a conservative, and he's taken a very, very hard line on Ukraine. And, earlier this year, he actually visited Ukraine, dropped in Kiev, expressed solidarity. But there's a legitimate criticism of Stephen Harper, and that's that he has not put government funding to match his rhetoric. Canada, embarrassing to say, spends one of the smallest shares of its gross domestic product on military of any member of NATO. We'll take Iceland out of the equation since they don't even have a military. But everybody else, we're down near the bottom. And so as a result, Harper's rhetoric is very hard line on this. I think a lot of the NATO partners are looking to say, okay, so, where are you on this? Canada's a rich country. Why aren't you even spending as much as other NATO members, never mind leading the pack on this?
I understand that most Canadians polled said they're okay with where Canada stands, but what happens if the other NATO nations pressure Canada to contribute more?
I think he's going to have to do something. I think he's going to have to, do something, not say something on this one. I think he's got to. It won't be a hugely popular thing to do, but for credibility, I think if there's going to be a special force or if there's going to be some kind of a special NATO action on this, I think Canada has got to be there. Or frankly, he's going to look pretty ridiculous because his rhetoric, as I say, there's that, he's from Alberta, right? So there's the old expression in Alberta, like there is in Texas, about being all hat and no cattle. There's a story on the front page of the National Post, one of our newspapers today, that's a paper that's often sympathetic to Harper, saying he's got to show that he's not all hat and no cattle.
It'd be fascinating to watch. Vaughn Palmer, political columnist for the Vancouver Sun. He is back and joining us every Wednesday to talk about news from Canada. Thanks so much. Nice to hear your voice, Vaughn.
Talk to you next week, Marcy.